Our own naked astronomer Andrew Pontzen was also looking deep into the universe's past, with the challenge of introducing the cosmic microwave background radiation to an audience of school children.
Well, I was giving a talk on the cosmic microwave background, which regular listeners to the podcast might have noticed is one of my favourite topics. Essentially, this is the afterglow that's left over from the phase when the universe was very young. It was much smaller, very hot and very dense. And at that time, there's a lot of radiation around. It's in what we call thermodynamic equilibrium with the matter in the universe. Since then, the universe has cooled down, and that radiation is just sort of left over from those early days. So I was saying something about that, but to make it a bit more challenging, I was trying to do this for an audience of families. It was advertised as sort of 8+, but in practice, I think there were some younger people there in the audience as well. So obviously I didn't use words like thermodynamic equilibrium at all. And instead I was trying to use some household objects to explain some of the physics, and also I explained some of the history of how we came to know about this stuff.
It is obviously a very important topic, but it is quite a complicated topic. That was a wonderful 2-minute summary of what it means. You've got an hour to fill and a room with people of all ages, 8 and above. How do you use things that are familiar to actually get these ideas across?
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge. Astronomy is a double-edged sword because on the one hand, we have these amazing pictures to show people. But on the other hand, we can't really do demos like people sometimes associate with these kind of science shows where you blow something up. And that's really good fun, but it's not very relevant to astronomy generally. So it's a case of coming up with lots of frankly daft demonstrations. For instance, we were looking at gravitational waves. These are the waves predicted by Einstein's theory of gravity. Yet again, for a young audience, you know, starting from somewhere that's familiar is the challenge. So I started from jelly, because jelly has this sort of rigidity about it. If you try and squash jelly, it tends to sort of splurt out the sides. So we had a sort of rather disgusting demonstration of that. And we're able to use things like that to provide a sort of concrete starting point for what, as you know, actually turn out to be very abstract ideas.
You are struggling with some very difficult ideas, gravitational waves being waves in space-time. I'd imagine, well, not very many people at all have a good concept of what space-time is at all. Is there now 500 people who think of space-time as being a bit like jelly?
I'd like to think so. The danger of these analogies, of course, is you can always take them too far. And so I'm very aware of that when I put it together. But I actually think the jelly analogy works quite well, because it does actually reflect a lot of the physics that goes on. And so you try to give people an impression that this is just an analogy. Space isn't really made out of jelly. But at the same time, give them something to hold on to and a way to think about difficult ideas.
So that's gravitational waves in jelly. What else do you need to do to make the cosmic microwave background a bit more comprehensible?
Well, I actually find one of the hardest things to explain to a young audience is probably something that's quite familiar to most listeners to this podcast, where if you look far enough away, you start to see things further and further in the past. Now, when we've thought about that quite a lot, it becomes a fairly familiar idea. That is obviously the key thing about the microwave background. It's by looking to very large distances, you're seeing the universe as it was essentially pretty much at the moment of its creation in terms of cosmic history. And that is the hardest thing. So trying to use simple examples where I was just running around looking daft on stage, showing that, you know, if you run at a certain speed, it takes you longer to get to things when you have to travel a large distance. And it's trying to find concrete, familiar things and then make the step from the familiar thing to the unfamiliar thing as small as possible. And I can give you one more example. I mean, one of the big puzzles with the microwave background is how it manages to be so well organized. If you've seen a picture of the microwave background, there are these ripples in it. And those ripples extend across very large portions of the sky. It's actually quite hard to understand why that should be the case, because organizing those ripples in the way they're organized takes some doing. In particular, there's a sort of limit on the amount of time, the minimum amount of time it's going to take. And so I tried to get that idea across by giving everyone in the audience a little coloured ball. And then we tried to organise the whole audience into a big wave covering the whole lecture theatre. I was actually amazed. I set a time limit of a minute, having never tried this before. And I thought that we're not going to manage it in a minute. It's going to be a great demo because we don't actually understand how the microwave background has managed to be so organised. So we'll get a demo in this lecture theatre of how we can't organise things quickly enough. But then it turned out that they were also keen to do it. That actually it did all happen. We got the whole ripple set out in the lecture theatre in 50 seconds, which I was very impressed by.
A good indication of how well you've inspired people and how well they've understood things is the sorts of questions they ask at the end. Were you getting good questions that indicated that jelly and balls and running around looking silly had really hit home?
Well, I think so. I mean, there were some really insightful questions at the end. In fact, so to go back to the example of organising yourself and the balls, what I was building up to there was a very short description of this thing called cosmic inflation, which one way of thinking about it is it gives the universe a little bit of extra time to get itself organised right at the beginning. One of the questions was, well, how does inflation actually start and finish? Which is, you know, a big open question in cosmology today. So people were coming up with cutting-edge questions by the end. So hopefully that meant they'd sort of cottoned on to all the important points.
Andrew Ponson on the challenges of explaining complex science to young children.
Expand your mind and Neptune in. Naked Astronomy, the Stellar Space Science Show. For more episodes of this programme, look us up online at nakedscientist.com/astronomy.